Hi, everyone. Today, we'll be talking about best practices among the S&P 250 when it comes to corporate transparency and how it builds stakeholder trust. I'm your host, Bill Coffin, and this is the Ethicast. At a time when confidence in large institutions continues to erode at an alarming pace, trust has become one of the most valuable coins of the realm within the ethics economy. And one of the most effective means of earning that trust is through transparency and disclosure. That's where the Transparency Awards come in. Highlighting top U.S. companies for investor transparency, the Transparency Awards rank the S&P 250, promoting high quality in disclosure and information sharing across a range of categories, including ESG reports, Form 10K, proxy statements, investor relations websites, codes of conduct, and more. With us today to talk about the Transparency Awards and the best practices they reflect is Brock Romanek, transparency champion, former SEC lawyer, and editor of RealTransparentDisclosure.com. Brock, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Bill.
There are a ton of great data points from the 2023 Transparency Awards. Can you talk us through some of the key findings that you feel have continued to most enrich the context around the information that top U.S. companies make available to investors and other stakeholders?
Well, first I'd point out that we do have a 27-page report on transparencyawards.com with all the statistics. And in the winter issue of Ethisphere's magazine, there's also an article by Labrador's advisory director, Jen Cooney, providing a lot of those stats. So I don't want to bore your audience with a lot of numbers, but the key stat I find is that the average transparency score for last year was 46%. Now that sounds low, particularly if we were in grade school, but as I reflect back on my 35-year career in corporate disclosure, we really have come a long way, particularly the past 5 years, because for the early part of my career, SEC disclosure documents primarily were compliance documents written by lawyers for lawyers and with a lot of legalese. And not only IPO prospectuses, but also the annual reports and the proxy statements that shareholders get ahead of the annual shareholders meetings. These were all replete with legalese. But starting with the plain English movement that the SEC fostered in the 1990s, and then more recently, shareholder engagement becoming a key thing. Companies, particularly larger companies, have really taken great pains to make their disclosure more consumable so that they read like something would want to read. They're a little bit more inviting than the legalese. So some companies have taken advantage of experts like Labrador that focuses on effective communication in a way that a lot of corporate lawyers don't. And now we have the SEC just adopted some new climate disclosure rules last week. And with potential high stakes litigation in the balance, despite there being a safe harbor from liability built into the SEC's new rules for forward-looking information. I think these documents that are filed with the SEC will take a swing back towards being more of a compliance document, but good design and transparency can still be made. They really must be made to truly tell a company's story, but it can be done in an authentic way so that the story is not all roses, because nobody's story really is.
One of the big criticisms against ESG is that it lacks a universal standard and practice when it comes to reporting. So how does this intersect with what you're seeing with the Transparency Awards, and how can ESG proponents best advance their cause through reporting?
That's a good theoretical question and debate about universal standards and practices. It's definitely important when reporting numbers, you got to be able to compare numbers. But beyond that, I think companies really do need to be genuine and authentic. And that's part of what we mean by transparency when they're describing their story in a narrative sense. And I believe that's what investors and other stakeholders want to see. That's why Warren Buffett's annual letter to shareholders for Berkshire Hathaway is so popular. You know, when you read it, you know that it's real. It's coming from a person, a leader. It definitely is not legalese. It doesn't feel like a compliance document. But I'm not saying that ESG reporting or SEC reporting in general shouldn't be considered a compliance document. They are. And in fact, I worry about the converse, that there aren't sufficient disclosure controls for some of the ESG reports that are outside the SEC filing stream. There might not be a lawyer well-versed in disclosure when some of those ESG reports are being put together. And as climate racks up big losses in society and will continue to do so, people are going to be looking for deep pockets to cover their losses. So I'm going back to these documents being compliance documents. But, you know, ESG proponents and companies in general can really advance their cause by being authentic in their disclosures. Transparency builds trust, and trust builds real value. So this is not just transparency for the sake of being honest, just like being ethical. It's not just for the sake of being a good person. It provides real value that adds to a corporate bottom line. So reputation matters to customers, investors, employees, and other stakeholders. We all know that, but yet we often forget it.
So what is underway for the 2024 Transparency Awards, and what differences are you expecting either in terms of how you gauge transparency itself or in how changes among the winners from last year might impact the practices of this year's applicants?
Well, the big difference really happened last year. I got hired by Labrador as an independent person to come on and manage the awards in the United States and formed a Transparency Scientific Committee. So these transparency awards have been around for over a decade in Europe, been around in the United States for over 5 years. But when I formed the Transparency Scientific Committee, of which I'm chair last year, we got seven members that are well-known experts with a diverse background on the committee. We have one person who's from a proxy advisor, one person who's an institutional investor, two former SEC staffers, three former in-house company practitioners, all of whom have served as chairs for the Society of Corporate Governance. So that builds a lot of credibility for the awards. And I think that we saw that in the reaction in the type of visibility that the awards got in the US last year. And then now we have realtransparentdisclosure.com, which is a year-long education platform, a blog that I run for Labrador. We have already over 4,000 folks subscribe to the blog to get pushed out to them. And there's only 6,000 public companies in the US, so 4,000 is a lot. And on the blog, I provide disclosure tips, good examples of good disclosure. People love that right disclosure, like to see good examples of good disclosure so they can get ideas. Copying is permitted in this field. But you have to obviously tailor to your own circumstances, but you can get good ideas from other good disclosures about the design, about the way the information is conveyed. So we're hoping that the education platform year-round will really truly help impact disclosure practices. And we're hearing all sorts of anecdotes that that's the case. Companies do get their transparency score privately, and then they want to improve on that, and they want to potentially win an award. So this is a process we're continuously to improve on and add new elements. ESG reporting was new for us last year, and now with these new climate rules that the SEC has, in years forward, that's going to be an important component of them.
Well, Brock, it's been terrific to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us today. And more importantly, thank you for, the work you're doing to advance corporate transparency in general.
Thanks to what you all are doing too. Thanks, Bill.
To learn more about the Transparency Awards, as well as to view a full list of 2023's winners, please visit transparencyawards.com. And to learn more about ESG, codes of conduct, and corporate governance, please visit the Ethisphere Resource Center at ethisphere.com/resources, where you'll find a ton of free videos, presentations, articles, and more. I'm Bill Coffin, and this has been the Ethicast. For more episodes, please visit the Ethisphere YouTube channel at youtube.com/ethisphere. And if this is your first time enjoying the show, please make sure to like and subscribe either on YouTube or on our podcasting platforms at Apple, Spotify, Google, and Amazon Music. Thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, remember, strong ethics is good business.